Good morning. Greetings to each one of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Grace and peace unto you, and may it be multiplied as we go through this day. I saw in some of your faces signs of being tired this morning. Hope you can stick with us here this morning. It's Friday morning. You know what that means? That's my last time I get to talk to you. Thank you for allowing me a week of pouring out my heart to you. Not knowing most of you, and speaking out of the burden of my heart that I see. Thank you for being gracious and attentive. Again, I hope, trust, and pray that I've been able to convey my burden in such a way that you're not overwhelmed. That you're not discouraged. We have simply looked at just a couple of angles of the Christian life. We could spend the next month looking at different angles and aspects of the Christian life. And you may sit here this morning and you may feel like, I don't remember everything that's been said. How can I retain this all? I just want to speak a word of encouragement to you this morning that I don't expect you to remember everything that you've heard this week. But if you are committed unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that means the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit of promise, has taken up residence inside of your heart. And one of His ministries is to bring to remembrance those things that you have learned. In the time, in the hour that you have need of, He, the Spirit of God Himself, will almost like recall it. Bring it to your mind. Oh, yes. So don't get overwhelmed with a lot of the details of the different messages you've heard. Not that they're not important. Just simply apply your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk with Him, and He, the Spirit of God, will bring to remembrance at a perfect time if you're willing to walk with Him. To me, that's very encouraging. After I sat through a series of meetings, because we are so limited. We have such a big brain, and at best, they say, I think we use 10% of it. The smartest man. And I don't know when they discovered that or how they discovered all of that. I don't know. But I know it's been a accepted fact that it's so, years ago already, and this day and age of technology that we live in, I have a feeling that that percentage is going to go down because we have technology taken away from our own exercising of our own minds. You know, just for one example, we have the Bible on CD or MP3 or whatever format you have out there today. Not wrong. It's beautiful that you can get into your vehicle and you can listen to the Word of God as you're driving. But one of the dangers is that technology takes away from us applying ourselves, exercising ourselves. And I think that percentage of our brain, the usage is going to go down with technology if we're not careful. So I'm not saying don't listen to the Bible on CD. But Don't let it take away from you opening up your word and sitting there reading it yourself and meditating on it. Well, I have a challenge this morning to try to wrap this thing up. And I feel like at best we have covered 40% of what I would have liked to have shared with you. And I don't know if you're willing to sit another week and a half so that we can finish the rest. I put a saying on here and I really didn't notice. I was writing in such an angle, such a slant until I went over there. But it says Christians are to live like Christ, just as Christ lived as a man. Does that speak? Does that make things clear? That's been the heart of me all week. That just as sure as God, Christ Jesus, lived as a man. There's no questions, is there? He lived as a man. He had 2 feet and he walked upon this earth. He got dirty and he was real. Just as Christ lived as a man, Christians are to live like Christ. That's the little capsule that I would like to give you to take home. Live as Christ, just as Christ lived as a man. No questions. Very clear. No confusion. I'm going to pass around 2 bags. And I want you all to take 2 candies out of here. And please don't open them up or don't eat them yet. So just take 2, pass the bag around until everyone has taken some. The last song that we sang, I requested that song this morning. Did you pay attention to those words as we sang it? Words of deep commitment. I love the Lord with all my heart. He lives with me each day. His presence is so sweet to me. His will I will obey. I love the Lord with all my heart. I'll serve Him day by day. My life is His, my hands, my heart. Just use me, Lord, I pray. I love the Lord with all my heart. I'll bear the cross of shame. I'll follow Him as He commands and suffer for His name. I love the Lord with all my heart. And when life's course is run, I'll hear Him say, "Well done, my child, thou good and faithful one." We all want to hear those words at the end of our course, don't we? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Somehow I'd like to try to bring your minds together here this morning of taking away any feeling of overload, if I can say it that way. I've titled the message this morning, "Loving Jesus, the Strength of Our Commitment." Loving Jesus, the strength of our commitment. Love Jesus, dear young people. Just love Jesus. And all the things, all the details that we have talked about this week, you will find that you don't need to focus on living a holy life necessarily. I'm not saying you don't think about it, but you don't have to think of the various aspects of holy living, right living, righteous living, if you love Jesus. You will find that if you love Jesus, if as you embrace the Lord Jesus, These things will automatically come out of your life. I mean, loving Jesus gives you direction for life. If you love someone, you stick close to that individual. Because you love him. You love to be around him. You know what happens? There's a saying pertaining to the married life. They say the longer you're together, the more you become like each other. You begin to think similar. Well, you're still two individuals, but because in a marriage, there's a close relationship, a relationship of loving one another. It rubs off. You begin to think like one and the other. You begin to like what the other likes, and it just has an effect. My dear young people, love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Wrap your arms around him every day. Get up every morning and sing the song, "I love the Lord." Renew your commitment to him every day. Love Jesus. You will find that loving Jesus is truly the strength of that commitment. When Peter made that bold statement of commitment, you know, that emotional commitment of, "Oh, I will give my life for you." And Jesus tells him, "The rooster, when he crows, you will have denied me 3 times already." He didn't really love Jesus. He had some kind of an emotional love for Jesus. You know, just kind of a passing love. An emotional love. But then after he repented of denying his Lord, he had a love for Jesus. He really embraced the Lord Jesus. And young people, that's my encouragement for you this last day. I want to, as I stand before you for one last time, just encourage you to hug him. Hug him. Hold on to him. Embrace him. Love the Lord your God with a pure heart, an undivided heart. By the way, that's the only way you can really love Jesus. With a pure heart, an undivided heart. Love Jesus. And it will work itself out in all these practical areas that we've talked about. Loving Jesus. Does Jesus love you? Does he love you? Is his love real? You believe that with all your heart. So if Jesus truly loves you, and if you love him, you know what's going to happen? You'll cleave to each other. My dear young people, don't let anything separate you. Do not let anything separate you from Jesus. Don't let anything take away that commitment. He loves you. You love him. Love sticks. Love binds. You can try to live sacrificially for the Lord Jesus. You can try to bring glory and honor to Christ. You can try to live a holy life. You can even try and even exceed in living above sin. But if you don't love Jesus, you're far apart. You are far apart. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. And as you turn there, I'd like to just read one verse to you out of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus here. Maybe I should read verse 8 also, just to give us a bit of a context here. Hebrews 1 verse 8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." My dear young people, if you're going to love Jesus, you're going to love what he loves, you're going to hate what he hates. Automatically. You can't love what he loves and love what he hates. That separates you automatically. That puts a wedge in there between your relationship. You start to love what is unrighteous. You start to love what the Lord Jesus doesn't love, and it will separate you. Love what he loves, hate what he hates, and you'll stick. Love is the strength of your commitment. First Corinthians 13, very familiar chapter, but I want to apply it in the area of our relationship with him. Beginning in verse 1 here. "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." Now think of those words in relation to your commitment with Jesus. I'm not going to take the time to go through, because we'll take our whole morning. And I won't get any further than that. But you, apply yourself. Exercise your mind this morning a little bit. And apply those words to your commitment with Jesus. Look at the power, the strength of love. And look at the opposite side. If you have not love, what do you have? Yes. Paul says, if you can be an eloquent speaker, you can be the best at everything. You can even offer up your body as a living sacrifice, literally get it burnt. But if you don't have love, it's nothing. My dear young people, let me just make this application for you. You can be the most pious person in this building. You can be the most modestly dressed. Just everything, just right. But if your love for the Lord Jesus is missing, if it's lacking, you have nothing. So just love the Lord Jesus. That's the summary of what I've been trying to tell you all week. That's the nutshell that, I don't know, that's, as I prepared, that's the only thing that came to me. This is the way I should wrap it up for you. Don't be overcharged. Don't be overly concerned with all the details of the Christian life that we've talked about thus far. Oh, they're all valid and they ought to be real. But my dear young people, as you focus on loving Jesus, keeping that relationship sweet, it'll save your life. Now, I don't see the bag going around anymore. Now, take your one of those. Everyone take two? Okay. Now, I haven't even looked at them. I don't even know what they look like. Is there a writing on the candy? What does it say? Lifesaver. My dear young people, that's what we're talking about this morning. Saving your life. By loving Jesus. Now go ahead and eat one. Raise your hand if you find it sweet. See, usually on the last day of school, we always had something a little special, so you get to have candy this morning. Sweet! My dear young people, your relationship with the Lord Jesus is supposed to be sweet. And if you find your relationship with the Lord Jesus sweet, it will save your Christian life. The Bible says we love Him because everyone.
He first
loved us. Yes. So it's just our again, can we conclude it's our reasonable service? I mean, you measure your greatest act of love that you can give to Jesus and compare that with the love of Christ to you. And where do you come up on the scale? If you had a scale, let's just say it's from 1 to 10. Where, now we know Christ's love is right here. This is, Christ's love is, let's say 10 is top notch. Where would you find yourself? My dear young people, even if we give our bodies as a martyr, you know what? I'm going to say to you, in comparison to Christ's sacrifice to us, you might just make it on the scale. Nothing is unreasonable. Nothing is asking too much of us. And any way that we can respond to the love of Christ is but very reasonable. It is really hardly anything in comparison. So nurture your relationship. And if it's not sweet, find out why it's bitter. Find out where it's lacking. What is wrong? Because, my dear young people, Jesus Christ is not divided. If I find Him sweet, you ought to find Him sweet. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We claim to have Jesus. We either all find Him good, we either all find Him sweet, or none of us do. He's not divided. He's the same. So love Him. And if you don't find Him sweet to your taste, maybe it's time to change your appetite. Could it be that we're eating of the wrong stuff? Now, I don't want to get into a bunch of things. But my dear young people, if we're feeding on the things of this world, it takes away the savor of Christ. And rightly so, that He won't be sweet because we're trying to mix Him in. Love Jesus with all of your heart. Embrace Him. Hug Him. Hold on to Him. Let nothing separate you Now, some of you might be thinking, if I come short of the glory of God, if I fail, am I automatically separated? My dear young people, I want to tell you, no. No. No, in the sense that it depends on your heart, on what you want to do. When you fall, when you fail, when you come short of the glory of God, if you acknowledge it and are quick to get back up, that doesn't have to separate you. You just get back up and keep going. Don't let that discourage you. Press on to perfection. Okay? Coming short doesn't have to separate you. It depends on what I do. If I repent of it, get back up on my feet, and purpose in my heart, I'm going. You can be like this. Love. If you have not love, you have nothing. If you don't love Jesus, you have nothing. I don't care how pious you look. Love for Jesus needs to be our motivator, our drive in life. And it will take care of the practical aspect of living. Loving Jesus, just studying to know Jesus. And then loving Him. Loving what He loves, hating what He hates. Now I'm trying to make it sound simple. It's easier said than done. Because as we apply ourselves to get to know Him, as we apply ourselves to loving what He loves and hate what He hates, we have our own flesh to deal with. We have the devil to deal with. We have a world of sin around us to deal with. So it's not that as easy as it is to say it in the flesh. Like we said yesterday, you will need to be engaged. Don't put down your bow. Don't put down your sword. Love Jesus. Oh yes. And walk with Him through this world more than a conqueror. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." His testimony was that the love of Christ constrained him. And it has the TH on the end, and I'm not going to say that all the times, but most times, many times when you find, in this case it's constraineth. It's again and again and again and again, a continual. Just like the soul that sinneth shall die. It's not talking about someone that falls short of the glory of God one time here. If he repents, that doesn't mean he shall die. He can still live. He just needs to repent. But the soul that sinneth again and again and again and again and again, it's a way of living. He shall die. So the Apostle Paul is saying, the love of Christ constraineth me. See, now we can all have that experience where the love of Christ is our drive, where it motivates us. When we're freshly born again, you know, the emotions are high. And maybe we get up off our knees and maybe we go home and maybe the next day we find ourselves telling the people on the streets about the love of God and what it's done for me. But it could be merely a constraint of the love of God. If you don't find it that way in the next week, then you can't say that the love of God is constrained, that it constraineth you. It needs to constrain you day after day after day after day. A continual, a way of life. That the things that you and I do are because of Christ's love to us and our love to Him. My dear brothers, sisters, young people, loving Jesus is the strength of your commitment. I'd like to share with you just a practical example of the power of love to help us understand what I'm talking about. How many of us have witnessed courting couples? Have you ever noticed that as soon as a couple starts courting, things start changing in their lives? Right? It's amazing. Someone who didn't like flowers, maybe the young man didn't like flowers, but he finds out that his mate there, she has a love for flowers, and all of a sudden, he has no problem taking out his wallet and going to a store and spending X amount of dollars to give her flowers because she loves flowers. Maybe she likes to go for nature walks, and he's really not into it at all. Oh, but because he loves her and he's trying to win her heart and he's trying to keep her heart, you know what he'll do? He'll go on nature walks. Why? Because he loves her. We'll do all kinds of strange things like that. Because we love the other person. It's the other way around too. The young lady will do the same thing. Because we love each other. They love each other. And they're trying to keep each other's hearts and win each other's hearts. And it's not only so in courting couples. It carries right on into marriage. You know what I've done? Probably not the strangest things, but I've done this for my wife. I ate a frog leg. Why? Because she was exclaiming how good it was. And because I love her, and because I want to identify with her, I was willing to take and eat a frog leg. How much does Jesus mean to us, you young people? How much do you love Him? If you really love Him, you will do everything within your power. You will engage yourself fully to not lose the heart of Christ. Okay? I'm not trying to be humorous up here. Although love does funny things. It gets us to do things that we would have, if I would not have met my wife, some of the things I have done, some of the places I have gone, I would never, ever have done. Now let me tell you, I now like those things. Yeah. I gave myself to the things that she likes, and I find myself liking those things. It is not a burden. It's not grievous for me. I don't have to grunt and bear it. I don't mind. I mean, to an extent. I'm not in love with... Not in love. My wife's not in love. But she's not a shopper, period. But we took her to a fabric store here, and she can go up and down that aisle, that same aisle, 2-3 times and look and feel and... I'm not sure what I don't get anything out of that. But I'll go to a fabric store with her. I will. And not all things that my wife likes do I particularly like. But I'll do them anyway. Do you get the point? Love Jesus! Love what He loves, hate what He hates. Oh, it's not all going to be easy. It's not all going to be to your preferences. You and I were still clothed with this mortal body that has cravings and sense, you know, likes and dislikes, and we have to deal with it. But overall, it's sweet even to be in a fabric store, even to eat a frog leg. It wasn't for me that I ate it. I ate it for my wife. How far are you willing to go for Jesus? Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, we find these very familiar words. For love is strong as death. That's strong. My dear young people, apply that to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Love is as strong as death. Is your commitment till death do us part? Is that your commitment with Jesus? Is your love for the Lord Jesus, are you in such a tight relationship with the Lord Jesus that you find it as strong as death? And that nothing but death can sever you. Oh, I would to God that it would be so for every one of us. And that every one of us on that day, when our journey ends, we will all hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's my heart for every one of us. But my dear young people, as we sit and as we watch and as we observe, we have questions in our minds about some of you. I question whether you really love the Lord Jesus as you ought. And I don't say that to bring condemnation upon anyone, or that I have anyone particular in my mind here this morning. I don't even know you. But I just watch some of your, you know, just the way you interact and the things you engage in, the things you laugh at, and I put a big question mark there. This barrel's pretty well empty still. I think if we were honest, there would be more stuff in there. If we really love Jesus and are willing to love what He loves and hate what He hates, I think there would be more stuff in there. Unless you are absolutely, somehow, much farther along than I think. Unless there's something much deeper in your hearts and it just hasn't manifested itself on the outside yet. Can I say it that plain? What's in the heart does reveal itself. It has to reveal itself. For love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Consider the strength, the power of love. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Love. Oh, my dear young people, don't focus on all the little details that we've talked about this week. Focus on loving Him with a pure heart. It is only when we love Jesus that we find it a joy to give ourselves for Him. It is then that we can agree with the Word of God and say it is but a reasonable service. Because we see that we hardly even make it on the scale as we measure up ourselves, as we compare ourselves with Him. Yes, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Oh, the commandments are very grievous if we don't have a love relationship with Him. It becomes a heavy burden on our backs. And we hardly know how to live out the commands of God. How to live a holy life. It's It weighs us down. It brings discouragement. And we get tired. But if we love Him, it's not grievous. We conclude that it is but a very reasonable thing that He's asking of us. Nothing unordinary. Love for Jesus will take out the feeling of duty. Love for Jesus, when we love Him the way we ought, we are glad to go, we're glad to be, we're glad to do. All that He asks of us. Loving Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. My dear young people, that's our whole makeup. With ourselves applied. Mind, soul, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's the body. That's who we are. And then it says strength. My dear young people, I want to promote to you or say to you this morning, that word strength there, look at it as you doing your part, applying yourself. Apply. As the Apostle Paul said, he brought every one of his members into subjection. Everyone. Apply yourself to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That will produce holy living. That will produce a God-honoring life. Ever thought about it? Why Jesus told that young man, or the scribes and Pharisees, when they came to Him? They said, "Hey, Master, what's the greatest commandment?" You know what they were looking for? They were looking for all the little things like dress right, eat right, comb your hair right, do all those things. That's kind of what they were looking for, I think. And Jesus says, the first and greatest commandment is, and we know it, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Oh, that's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear specifics, you know, because they were walking around in their own self-righteousness. They wanted to feel good about who they were, but they were missing the point. They didn't love God. Oh yes, as we read in 2 Timothy 3, and you've been hearing it, I told my wife last night, I said, this is very interesting. I started with that scripture on Monday morning, did I not? Brother Mo started with that scripture, did he not, on Monday morning? And I don't know if anybody else did, if Brother Larry did or didn't, I don't remember. But then last night we had that scripture again. Having a form of godliness, but no evident power of God in their lives. See, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were looking for very specific things. I think they were hoping that Jesus would say this, so they could feel justified. But God, Jesus answered them, and He stunned them. Love God. That's why I said what I said. You can look right on the outside. You can act right. You can speak right. But if you don't love Jesus, you have nothing. Purpose in your hearts, dear young people, to love what He loves and hate what He hates. That is a simple rule of life for the Christian. That is a safe way of living. So you study. You search what He likes. And you purpose in your heart, by the grace of God, to accept those things that He loves. And you also purpose in your heart that you're not going to love what He hates, but you're going to hate what He hates. Am I making it a little simpler this morning? See, the Christian life really isn't complicated. It really isn't. It's rather simple. Love Him with a pure heart. Love Him. But we live in a world where everything, every truth of God has been perverted. It's twisted. It's wrested. And you have to define almost everything. What does it mean to love God? Oh, I love God. And everyone, so many people say, I love Jesus. And they put these stickers on their vehicles and they proclaim to love Jesus. And you look at their lives and you can, how can you love Jesus and live that way? Let me tell you a little story. This happened not that long ago. When I say not that long ago, it's within the last couple of years. A couple of young men that are now both married, part of our congregation at home. This happened before they were married. They were coming back from a trip and they were at a bus depot and they were waiting for the bus to come, and if I remember correct, the bus schedule wasn't until 2 a.m. So they're sitting, these two young men, they're at this bus depot by themselves. And as they're there, they're talking and probably tired, being that it's, you know, early morning. As they're waiting on the right time for the bus to come that would take them where they want to go, they hear this boom, 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 boom. And they look across the parking lot and there's a car full of young people. And they heard the music very clear from where they were waiting on the bus, and a car left and pretty soon was back, and it was boom, 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 boom. They got out of the car and they looked like the sound of the music, if I can say it that way. Not clean by any means. And they walked up to these two young men that were waiting on their bus. And these people coming out of the car asked these two young men, are you Christians? They said, yes, we're Christians. Are you born again? Yes, we're born again. Young people, that is the day and age that we're living in. That's the thing we've been talking about all week. A profession, but a lifestyle that does not go together. These two young men, they felt like, how dare you ask us these questions? We look at the way you look. Look at what you're listening to. That's the day and age we're living in, though. My dear young people, you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and have the things of this world. It will not work. You must love what He loves and hate what He hates. It doesn't matter. Don't be fooled by the sweet talk, the right talk that comes from someone like that. We are to judge righteous judgment. We ought to make discernment, young people, and not associate ourselves with such. Remember, verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, from such turn away. It's happening again. Proverbs 24:16 says, young people, and this is not a license to fall, not a license to come short. If you love Jesus, it doesn't have to separate yourself. Proverbs 24:16 says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he also gets up 7 times. If you're here this week and you have a besetting sin, and you're seeking victory over it, get desperate, young people. Because a besetting sin can and will eventually separate you. But what I'm talking about here is just because you fall one time doesn't have to separate you from God. Get up. Repent. As many times as you fall, you get back up. Seek the Lord. Remember, do not be guilty of making God a little smaller than you and your temptations. Keep Him as the God of heaven. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him. Love Him. Just love Jesus. Out of a pure heart. And you'll live a fine Christian life where you will hear those sweet words of Jesus. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have loved me. Our love for Jesus is the strength of our commitment. It is the adhesive. It is the magnet, if you will, that keeps us together. And it works itself in such a practical way. We don't have time to get in that this morning. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, evidently, this was an ongoing problem in John's day already. There was much profession, a lot of hypocrisy. And John just simply raises the questions there in 1 John 4, verse 20. How can any man say that he loves God and hate his brother? How can you say you love God if you can't love your brother whom you see? How can you say you love a God that you have not seen, but you hate your brother whom you do see? See, loving Jesus works out all these practical things. And then we have reality around us. If we're just willing to be honest, we have a gauge, we have a scale all around us every day whereby we can gauge where we're at and where we're going. If we're just willing to be honest and take a look. By the decisions that we make. And where those decisions take us. Turn with me real quick here yet. We only have a couple of minutes to Mark chapter 14. I'd like to just quickly read this account. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. In a nutshell, my dear young people, picture that as an act of Mary pouring out the impression of her heart and expressing it outwardly. Loving Jesus. She did not allow the circumstances, the surroundings to deter her. She did not allow the cost of this ointment to say, oh, this is too much. No, Jesus was worth it to her. Jesus was worth it to her. So she gave it no second thought. She broke that bottle of that alabaster box of ointment. She broke that bottle of perfume, if you will, and she poured it out. She loved Jesus. Regardless of the cost, regardless of who was around her, regardless of the criticism that she faced for doing it. She was motivated by her love for Jesus. And that blocked out everything on the sidelines. My dear young people, love Jesus. Just love Him. And it will take care of your peers. It will take care of everything. Love Him. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the strength of your commitment. That is what's going to keep this thing together. And not only will it keep it together, my dear young people, it's going to strengthen it as time goes by. That to where you can say, with the Apostle Paul, shall this, that, or the other thing separate me from the love of God? He says, never. Never. Set your eyes upon Jesus. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. And you will do well. You will do well. How many of you know the name William Featherston? Okay. He was a 16-year-old young man. There's not a lot of information that I know that we have of him. He was born in the mid-1840s. I think it was 1846. Somewhere in there. It's when he was born. And he wrote at the age of 16. It's believed that he was converted at the age of 16. And he wrote a song. A poem, actually. And we know this song. Take your hymn books and turn to it. Song number 190. This 16-year-old boy wrote that song. My Jesus, I love Thee. And I chose that song as a closing for my series here this week to conclude all that I have said and would have liked to have said. We trust that the Spirit of God has spoken clearly enough to your hearts that you can take all the things that have been said, apply yourself, search the Scriptures, be a Berean, and see whether the things you have heard are so, and if so, then apply your hearts to them. Look at the words of this song, or pay attention. Can we sing it? Where's our song leader? Can we sing this song? And pay very close attention to the depth of commitment. And we're, for the sake of time here, we're only going to sing the first and third verse. Sure.
My
Commitment coming from a 16-year-old. And as far as I know, he died before his 27th birthday. May that be an expression of your heart. And if not, I encourage you, seek the Lord. It can be. It can be. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you at the close of this week of Bible school. And we commit to you all things that we have spoken. And Father, we ask that you would honor your word even now, Father, and cause it to take root and spring up and bear much fruit to your glory, to your honor, and to the saving of our souls. Oh, Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in every believer, and you can bring to remembrance those things that we have need of. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would be with each of these young people. Be with all of us, oh God, and direct us. Take us from where we are right now to where we ought to be going. Bring conviction. Bring encouragement. Father, bring whatever we need. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing here. I have a handout, and I'm not sure how we can do it the quickest. Maybe the best thing would be for me to do is just put these papers up here and you can each grab one. It's a series of questions that are based on the five messages that I preached to evaluate yourself, where you're at. And it's something that you can take home with you. Sometimes it's very helpful to actually be able to look at something on paper right before our very eyes and say, oh. Now, I did not get anyone to edit this. It's just the way I made it up. So if you find mistakes on there, forgive me. But I will put half of them. I'll put half of them over here on this side, and the other half on that side. Just so, or maybe I'll even split it up over four sections so that you can pick them up faster.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.